You know, there's two reasons I really didn't want to preach this morning. One is that, what can I share that can even have an impact after that? And the other one is, what do you share to a crowd like this? You guys have just spent 3 months basically taking in information through a fire hose. You've probably taken in way more information than you can really process anyway. Then we have the home church. They're at a little bit of a different place. And then we have families that I don't even know everybody that's here. And I like to think that when I speak, it has an impact on everybody, but it's a little hard to do. But you know, if Daniel and Christy can do what they can, then the least I can do is surrender and get up and open my mouth and just allow God to speak something. When we were singing this morning, I said, oh, great, now it's Christmas time too. Now I should mix in something Christmassy, right? That would be appropriate. But then I realized that I'm speaking about the gospel. That's Christmas. There's nothing more important than that. That's why Jesus came. And then when you guys sang your first song, I said, okay, this makes sense. God's going to do something here. I wrote this title on the airplane on the way back. And the first song you sang was, I Am Not My Own. So I don't feel like I have a lot more information that I can give you guys that will be helpful. But I just want to remind you of this point. You really are not your own. You've been purchased with a price. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are infinitely precious. So precious, in fact, that God designed you before the foundations of the earth were laid. That's how long ago God was thinking about you. That's how much thought he put into you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. God saw you before you were. And in your book, they are all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. The days that we live in were designed for you before time was. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, you were chosen. God designed you first, designed you, handcrafted you. Then he created the earth for you. Imagine that. Picture this. From the tallest mountain to the lowest valley, from the shining sea to the hottest desert, from the stillness of the deep forest to the hustle and bustle of the busiest marketplace, God created it all for you. He knew that you had what it takes for such a time as this. So he waited and he waited until the earth was perfect for you. And then he said, now. Now is the time. You were created for such a time as this. People lament about the good old days. And I've done some of that. I think when I was a little boy, life was easier. The world was simpler. But God didn't create me for 1930. God created me for 2030. That's why I'm here now. This is the day that the Lord has made for me. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Be glad that you're born in this time. Of his own will, he brought us forth. It wasn't by our doing, it was by his own will. by the word of truth, that we might be a first fruits of his creatures. God made lots of creatures. Whales, T-Rexes, dragons, fire-breathing dragons, if we take the Bible literally. Think about that, mighty creatures. And yet you're different than the creatures. You have a choice. The whole earth is before you. So it lies waiting for you to step into it, to reach up, to grab a hold of God's mighty hand and say, Lord, wherever you want me to go, there I will go. Whatever you want me to do, that I will do. The words that you give me, that I will speak. The prayers that you give me to pray, these I will pray. Lord, I surrender my life completely into your hands. I am as clay in your perfect will. Mold me, shape me, cleanse me, and use me until the whole earth is brought under your dominion. That's a very dangerous prayer to your flesh. I challenge you to pray it with me. Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. There's a paragraph in the book on covetousness by Lillian Harvey that I want to read to you. In it, he's referring to Jesus' words in Luke 12:24, when he told his disciples this, to take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. This is speaking of these things. Think of all the things around us. Lillian Harvey says this. Says, in the severe light of these words of Christ, man stands out in very fine relief. Things in profusion are lying all around him. But you cannot confound him with the sky, the land, the trees, the houses, the gold and silver which court his attention. And his preeminent distinction, his immeasurable distinction, he stands in the midst of them with God's life in his soul, the sunlight of heaven on his face, and the earth at his feet. And he is as distinct from his surroundings as the sun from the wilderness of clouds. Much more distinct, for the sun and the clouds are alike impersonal. Amid the whole universe of things, man is the sole person. And they all acknowledge that the personal is Lord of the impersonal. If man can use to his advantage the sun, moon, stars, or any of the innumerable things which wait upon him, they are sufficiently honored. The things of this earth considered an honor if you can use them. But if he passes them all by, they will no less regard him as their king and hold themselves ready to serve his pleasure. You're infinitely different than the things around you. You've been given a choice. All these things are here for you. Whether you use them or not is up to you, but it doesn't change the fact that the world is yours. It's here for you. What will you do with it? That's the question. You guys are going to go back home, and it's going to be easy to get back in the rhythm of life and put this on the shelf and say, this was a good time. I'm glad I had the opportunity to do this. But don't look at it this way. Sent is not a mission trip. This is not the end. Sent was a training school, so this is the beginning of your mission trip. You have, as an American, you have almost unimaginable opportunity. And I say unimaginable as in the light of the rest of the world. You can be pretty much anything you want to be. You can do it. You have the resources. God has given them to you. And there's lots of good things you can do. You can become an architect. Design beautiful places for people to live in. You can be a builder. Bring these spaces to life. That's a great contribution to society. At least I hope so. I'm a builder myself. You can become a teacher. It's one of the most notable professions of all. You spend your days shaping the thoughts and lives of the next generation. You can become a missionary. dedicate your life to the Great Commission. You can become a pastor, or a Sunday school teacher, a youth pastor, a worship leader, be a janitor as far as that goes, and pour your energy into building up the church. What a gift of service to the very body of Christ itself. There's many other noble professions that you can pursue right at home. None of them are necessarily better than the other. What you need to do is find out what does God want you to do, and do it. And do it for the glory of God. Any one of these professions can be done for yourself. They can be done for your own glory, or they can be done for God's glory, for the expansion of his kingdom. I don't know how much time that God has allotted for you on this earth, but you have only one life. Spend it well. Give it everything you have. I know there's times when the going is rough. I make it sound easy, like you can just do whatever you want to and you won't have any opposition. I know that's not true. The way is steep. Friends and family reject us. There are times when the way is unsure, dim. Truly, this is a narrow way. There are distractions. There are times when we just want to quit. When the load is too heavy, the way too steep, the rejection too painful, remember, it will be worth it in the end. It really will be. Remember the words of Jesus. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. Be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus walked this road too. He knows what it's like. And you know, someday we will be his bride. And then we'll feast with him, and he'll wipe away every tear from our eyes. But that time is not yet. For now, we are his body. There's a distinct difference. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. And he, Yahweh, put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We will be broken, just like Jesus' body was. We will be bruised, yes. We'll be rejected. But never forget, even Jesus had to die before he could be resurrected. So it is with you. Ultimately, we will be victorious, raised with him, seated at the very right hand of God. In glory. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice and saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Brothers and sisters, we have one commission, only one. It is our job, it is our commission to make sure that on that great day, every single tribe and language is represented before God. Every single one of them. I'm convinced that if we would actually put our heart, soul, mind, and strength into fulfilling this commission, we could see it fulfilled in our lifetime. Daniel likes to tell this story of when he went to the first village way up in northern Africa. They figured by the time they got there, and at that point they were walking, riding bikes, wading through the rivers. It was, you think it's rough now, it was even worse then. He figured by the time they got to the village that surely they were in a place where civilization had never reached before. But guess what they handed him when he got there? Anybody want to guess? A Coca-Cola. See, the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. They have an agenda. It's to get Coca-Cola into every village on the face of this earth. And they have done a better job than we have. And yet our commission is manifold times more important than theirs is. We should be ashamed of ourselves. But if they can do it, we can too. I promise you, we can do it. The time is coming when God is going to right all wrongs. But for now, we have work to do. You know, the time is coming when all you will own in this earth is 24 square feet of real estate in the back of a church somewhere. Everything else you've worked for will be someone else's. I should say every earthly thing. All that you have left at the end will be wasted. You can't take it with you. However, what you have spent, time, talent, treasure for the kingdom of God will be saved, stored up in heaven forever in the presence of the one who created all things, to the one to whom all glory will be given in the end. So if you want to think about long-term investments, that's the only place there is. Nothing else is going to last.